I thought it might be helpful to just illustrate two of my patients who actually were diagnosed with COVID and were on therapy to show the wide range of experiences that we've been facing and the art of medicine around all of this. So my first patient I've known for many years, she's 64 years old. Back in 2015, she presented to a local emergency room with jaundice, severe hip pain, which was limiting her ability to ambulate, back pain, and a fungating right breast mass. And she was diagnosed as a result with de novo ERPR negative, HER2 positive breast cancer that was metastatic to the liver, to bone, and also to brain on presentation. So it was quite difficult to, at that time, prioritize really what we should do first, repair her hip, radiate her brain. But the hyperbilirubinemia was significant. Her symptoms were significant. And we really favored just beginning with effective systemic therapy. So following the variation of the Cleopatra regimen, she was treated with first-line paclitaxel, trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and denosumab. And she had just an amazing, excellent clinical response and radiographic response to systemic therapy that by October of that year, we were able to discontinue chemotherapy due to increasing neuropathy and toxicity and just maintain her on trastuzumab, pertuzumab, and denosumab. And about a year after diagnosis, having been monitored for her CNS lesions, she suddenly developed a larger burden of disease within the brain, but extracranially had excellent control. And so she was treated on a clinical trial at the time of whole brain radiation with concurrent sorafenib. The sorafenib was only given during the radiation. And so subsequent to that treatment, we resumed trastuzumab and pertuzumab as of April of 2016. And really to this day, she's maintained excellent systemic response, continued disease control, both in the body and in the CNS, and has been doing just wonderfully. So these are her images at diagnosis in March, and I just selected a few sections where you can see the right breast mass in the top image. You can see her liver really largely replaced by tumor with significant hepatomegaly, and you can see that uptake in the right femoral head, which had some cortical disruption and was really at the site of significant pain. And there's a section from her MRI of the brain with her brain lesions at that time. And then just most recently, this is imaging just from June, showing, again, continued wonderful control within the brain. You can see the loss of avidity in the right breast and really significant clinical improvement. The liver is in much better shape, and this is just background uptake, according to our nuclear radiologists. And even the right femur and hip have been well managed just with bone remodeling agent systemic therapy, and she did not require surgery or radiation. So that's the great news in terms of her disease. I will say in April of this year, she awoke suddenly with some right arm and shoulder pain and swelling. She's had some baseline lymphedema, but this was really pronounced that morning. And over the course of the day, erythema began progressing from the shoulder down that right upper extremity. And she developed a temperature to 101 that afternoon. So we recommended she come right in to the emergency room. Her last treatment of trastuzumab and pertuzumab was the end of March on the 31st. So in the emergency room, she had defervesced. Her vital signs were largely unremarkable. Her blood pressure often runs in this low range. She was not tachycardic. Her room air saturations were excellent. And on clinical exam, the most significant finding was what appeared to be a quite significant cellulitis. And she had an elevated white blood cell count of 24,000, really all looking consistent with a rip-roaring cellulitis. So cultures were sent off. She was going to be admitted for intravenous antibiotics and for fluids. And as was our policy at the time, she had a routine swab for COVID performed because we were isolating and separating out our patients that were COVID positive from those that were COVID negative in the hospital. And surprisingly, her swab in the emergency room came back positive for COVID. She lives with her husband, who has several comorbidities, but is otherwise well. They care for many of the grandchildren, and yet she had been really social distancing and sequestering at home. So the COVID positivity was quite a surprise. So she was hospitalized overnight, experienced some diarrhea and a little bit of a decrease in her blood pressure. understandably, she was also started on intravenous antibiotics for the cellulitis. And so in terms of attribution of the diarrhea, it was unclear if that was COVID-related or if that was antibiotic-related. She had no respiratory symptoms whatsoever. She continued to have a bit of a low-grade temperature that first day, but by the next day, she had defervesced. Her cellulitis looked so much improved. Her diarrhea had resolved. All other systemic cultures were negative. And so she was able to be discharged home. As our policy at the time, we stood up an outpatient management for COVID-positive patients where we did intense home communications and monitoring. All patients were sent home with pulse ox to trend and monitor. And they had daily and multiple touch points with nursing staff and APPs to help monitor them at home in the setting of having a COVID infection. And so she did quite well, recovered nicely, and we were able to resume her trastuzumab pertuzumab in May. So as you'll notice, we delayed her trastuzumab pertuzumab. She did delay a dose in the midst of this infection. That was more out of an abundance of caution. She was without any evidence of disease on her scans. She has been on trastuzumab pertuzumab for years, and it felt safer at the time for her to be able to stay home, to be able to quarantine, to stay safe. And once she had cleared, we were able to resume her treatment in early May, and she's doing exceptionally well.